Hello, NBA fans, and welcome to the Big Shot Pod. As always, I am your host, Chapa Baja. And man, it has been a while since I've spoken to you guys. It's been almost about 10 days. But in those 10 days, a lot has gone on. But particularly in the last about 12 hours, a lot has gone on. I am recording right now. It is about 4 in the morning on Wednesday morning. So yesterday was NBA free agency, and as we know, a lot of anticipation was there, a lot of expectations, you know, a lot of hopes for a lot of fans, and also for a lot of players and, you know, the money that they can make, the teams that they can join. So we got a lot of news to cover. So NBA free agency was today. It started at, 5 p.m. Eastern time. So let's go ahead and start it off. So the first thing, the first player who had the most spotlight. Well, actually, there were two. One of them was Kyle Lowry, and the other one was Chris Paul. So I'm gonna go ahead and start with Chris Paul, the man who made it to the NBA Finals, but unfortunately was not able to deliver. So Chris Paul. Today, he did sign an extension with the Phoenix Suns. He signed a four-year, $120 million deal. So that's a lot of money. So basically, Chris Paul, at 30 years of age, he will be making $30 million at 40 years old. That's a lot of money. That's a big risk. That's a big gamble by the Phoenix Suns. But obviously, you know, Phoenix, after the success that they had, it was just something that they just could not afford to let him go. You know, and I'm not talking money-wise. I'm not even talking about performance-wise. I'm more talking about team chemistry-wise. I mean, imagine, you know, the Suns, they made it so far. They made it to the NBA Finals against the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, a lot of that was due to Chris Paul. So, you know, if you're the Phoenix Suns, you know, it just would not have looked good if they let him go to the fans. It would not have looked good to the, to Chris Paul, obviously. And, you know, it wouldn't have looked good to all of the NBA, you know, most importantly, the players. You know, we saw something similar, similar to this in Boston, when Isaiah Thomas was traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers for Kyrie Irving. You know, it just wasn't, you know, it was a move that, you know, any GM would have made in the NBA, trading Isaiah Thomas in that package for Kyrie Irving. You know, it was a no brainer, but you know, it's just something that left a bad taste in, you know, a lot of people's mouths, especially NBA players, seeing no loyalty, seeing how quick Boston was to pull the trigger and, you know, just let one of their guys go. So it just wasn't a good look, and, you know, eventually it is going to affect you in a thing like today, free agency. You know, teams or players are going to see, you know, that the organization doesn't necessarily have any loyalty or, you know, at least any consideration, you know, towards the player. So, you know, obviously that's going to make players, like I said, it's going to leave a bad taste in their mouths. And they're not going to necessarily going to want to go to that typical or that specific organization. In this case, it was Phoenix. Phoenix was able to avoid that. There was a lot of concern, not just in the fans, but around the league, that Robert Sarver, the owner of the Phoenix Suns, was not going to want to resign Chris Paul. Robert Sarver, he does have a history of being one of those GMs that doesn't like to spend. So there was a lot of concern that, you know, he maybe wasn't going to want to spend all this money on a 37-year-old point guard, which, you know, you can't get mad at that speculation. You know, Chris Paul, like I said, is going to be making $30 million at 40 years old with this contract. So like I said, it's a gamble. But it's a gamble that had to be taken by the Suns. So they did take that. So now he will be remaining a Phoenix Sun. Along with him, Campaign. If anyone remembers Campaign, you know, his campaign during the playoffs, you know, he played extremely well as a backup point guard for the Suns. He had a big game where he had 27 points. So, you know, he was good. He was successful in the playoffs. He wasn't good in the, you know, after playing the Clippers, he did not play well against the Bucks. But other than that, you know, he had a good playoffs. He had a good run. So he was able to secure himself a 3-year, $19 million deal with the Suns. So he will be remaining, there in Phoenix. So that is definitely, something to keep an eye out. So they got that done. Also the Phoenix Suns, they were able to secure a backup center, which, as we all know, was something that they very much needed. That's one of the main reasons that they were not able to win the championship. You know, when they played the Bucks, they only had one big since Dario Saric got injured. So they had to rely heavily on DeAndre Ayton. And, you know, the Suns just had no size other than DeAndre Ayton. So at the end of the day, it did bite him in the butt. But they secured JaVale McGee on a 1-year, $5 million deal. JaVale McGee right now is playing in the Olympics over in Tokyo. So, you know, he's going to come to the Suns, you know, nicely developed. I mean, he's obviously already developed. But, I mean, you know, he's going to come off fresh. You know, he's going to be in a rhythm. So hopefully that is going to be a good thing for Phoenix. Apart from Chris Paul, Kyle Lowry. So Kyle Lowry was the biggest free agent on the market. You know, this wasn't necessarily a big free agent pool compared to other years. You know, there was no player like a Kawhi Leonard or a Kevin Durant or a Giannis or a Paul George. You know, there was no player like that here on the market. So Kyle Lowry was really, really the biggest. Well, I wouldn't say the biggest, but I'd say he's the biggest domino effect in this NBA free agency. I say that because a lot of teams were trying to go for a Kyle Lowry. You know, the Miami Heat, the New Orleans Pelicans, the Dallas Mavericks, the Knicks. There were a lot of teams that had their eye on Kyle Lowry, and they had the money, and they wanted to offer it to him. But at the end of the day, it was the Miami Heat who secured Kyle Lowry on a 3-year, $90 million deal. Kyle Lowry is a 35-year-old point guard, but obviously he brings tenacity, he brings defense, he can shoot the three-pointer, he can facilitate, you know, so he is a very solid, above solid player, and he is perfect for that Miami Heat culture. So he will be a nice fit there in Miami. Now, I said it was the Kyle Lowry domino effect, this NBA free agency, because really this was the free agency of point guards, and I say that because, you know, I just talked about one, Chris Paul. Kyle Lowry, we had Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, so we had Lonzo Ball. So we had a lot of point guards in this free agency. But really, you know, like I said, all the teams were focused on Kyle Lowry. And then once Kyle Lowry decided where to go, that's when teams had to really move on and they had to decide. And basically that's where, you know, the race started. You know, once Kyle Lowry decided to go to Miami, you know, every other team had to hurry, and, you know, they had to offer their deals to, you know, other players. So, yeah, once his deal was decided, that's when every other team had to pretty much run around, offer their deals to all other point guards like Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, all those guys. Also, one thing to mention about the Miami Heat, they did re-sign Jimmy Butler. They re-signed him on a Supermax extension. So Jimmy Butler today signed a 4-year, $184 million deal. So that's a lot of money for Jimmy Butler, you know. But, you know, well spent. He's, you know, the face of the Miami Heat. He's the epitome of the Miami Heat, that Miami Heat culture. He's a hard-working guy. He's going to put his heart into every game. You know, he's going to work hard. He's going to diet hard. He's going to, you know, he works hard and he doesn't play hard. Well, he does play hard, but you know what I mean. So, yeah, so the Miami Heat, they, and really the Miami Heat, they did a lot of things tonight. But I'm going to cover other teams, well, other players that the Miami Heat signed. But, you know, I'm going to cover first right now the top players. So that's it for the Miami Heat. They did sign Jimmy Butler, Kyle Lowry. So that is a very nice deal. I'm going to cover other players that they signed. But like I said, right now, I just want to cover the top players. Also, Lonzo Ball. You know, it was well known that the Pelicans were most likely not going to sign him. But they were able to do a sign and trade with the Bulls. So the Bulls get Lonzo Ball, and the Pelicans, they get Thomas Satoransky, they get Garrett Temple, and they get a second-round pick. Now, this was good for the Pelicans because they were able to free up cap. Excuse me, they were able to free up cap space. So that was good for them. They let Lonzo Ball go. Lonzo Ball signed a four-year, $85 million deal with the Chicago Bulls. So that's good. Chicago, now they have a Zach LaVine, they have Nikola Vucevic. They got Lonzo Ball, Kobe White. So they got a nice core, you know, they got a nice young core, to build around. So, you know, if you're a Chicago Bull, you should be optimistic. Now going down the line, also the Lakers, let me go ahead and mention that the Lakers, well, actually, let me mention this, real quick. Speaking about the Lakers and the Bulls, they signed Alex Caruso. They signed Alex Caruso on a four-year, $37 million deal. So Alex Caruso is gone from the Lakers. A lot of Laker fans were not happy to hear that, but, you know, when looking at the price, they were, you know, it was a lot easier for them to let go of Alex Caruso. They just did not feel like they wanted to pay that kind of money to Alex Caruso. And even if they wanted to, they did not have that money to offer, you know, since they got the Russell Westbrook deal done. So Alex Caruso, he is gone. He is on the Chicago Bulls. He will be behind Lonzo Ball. So the Chicago Bulls, they got themselves a nice backcourt there. Or excuse me, yeah, a nice backcourt. They got Zach LaVine, Lonzo Ball. They got Kobe White and Alex Caruso in the backing up their starters. So, you know, that's a good deal. Good deal for the Bulls. Also, speaking about the Lakers, a nice little reunion going on for the Lakers. They were able to re-sign Trevor Ariza, able to resign Wayne Ellington, and they were able to re-sign Dwight Howard. So, you know, a nice little reunion, something that, you know, the Lakers really needed. Basically, because, like I said, the Lakers have no money. So these are all one-year deals and basically on minimum deals. So, you know, and that's pretty much what the Lakers have to do for the rest of the offseason. Like I said, they have no money, so they have to sign guys on minimum deals. So it's going to be hard for them to get, you know, good, really good players, but they can still get solid players on minimum deals. So we will keep an eye on that for you guys. Let's see. Also, I was talking about the championship earlier with Chris Paul. I want to mention that PJ Tucker from the Milwaukee Bucks, he is no longer on the Bucks. He is on the Miami Heat. He signed a two-year, $15 million deal with the Heat. So the Heat are really, really adding a lot of Miami Heat culture, guys. PJ Tucker, we know him. He is all about defense. He's all about aggressiveness. He's all about being that tough guy that can do those certain intangibles that not a lot of players do. And these things don't really show up on the stat sheet, but man, they really help. So PJ Tucker is really a nice addition for the Heat. And the Heat are looking really nice, placing themselves in the top four right now in the East. And, you know, who knows, when we see their final product on the floor, they might be even higher than that. Also, one thing I wanted to mention, Trae Young. Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks, they were able to agree on a extension. So Trae Young will be signing a five-year, $207 million extension. So that is pretty, that's a lot of money. So Trae Young will definitely be enjoying that. You know, the Hawks, they were able to secure their franchise guy, their franchise point guard for the next 5 years. That deal will go into effect after this coming season. So in 2022 is when that five-year deal will start affecting their cap space. Speaking of the Hawks, also, as we know, they offered John Collins, their big man, they offered John Collins a about a $90 million deal earlier in the season. Now, John Collins, he did decline that deal. He felt like he was a max-type player, so he did decline that $90 million. Right now, him and the Hawks are currently in talks for an extension, but as from what I'm hearing, you know, John Collins and the Hawks right now are not close to an agreement. Shams Charania did say that there is right now no momentum on that deal getting done. So if you're an Atlanta Hawk fan, you really, you know, you got to be concerned about that. Now, there were rumors earlier in the week about Cam Reddish being, you know, tossed around in trade talks by the Atlanta Hawks. Now that really had a lot of people speculating why the Hawks were doing that. I mean, I found it a no-brainer. Obviously, what the Hawks are trying to do, they're trying to get rid of some money. Basically, you know, Cam Reddish, he's going to need an extension, you know, after this coming season. And, you know, the Hawks don't have a lot of money to play with after this Trae Young extension. You know, they got guys that they got to play like, or pay, like Bogdanović, Danilo Gallinari. So, you know, their contracts are starting to add up fast. They also got Clint Capella. And then, like I said, right now they got to deal with the John Collins deal. So, you know, once the John, I mean, next season, the Hawks will have no money. So that's another problem with the Hawks, is that, you know, they might be able to get to sign John Collins, but John Collins, he wants a max deal. He wants around $120 million. And right now the Hawks are not able to get that deal done. So I'd keep an eye out on Hawks getting some sort of trades done. Maybe if I were them, I'd even consider, you know, trading away a guy like Danilo Gallinari. I would not trade Bogdanović. Bogdanović is, you know, their second best, you know, ball handler, playmaker. He can shoot, young guy. So, you know, I would not expect for them to get any deal like that done. But I would keep an eye out for maybe Danilo Gallinari getting traded, maybe even some Clint Capella trade talks. I'd keep an eye out for that, because that could really clear some cap space for them. And if they get that done, then they would definitely be able to re-sign John Collins. Now, there are rumors of other teams in the midst for John Collins. Some of those are the Dallas Mavericks, the New York Knicks. So we will keep an eye out on that. But yeah, right now, like I said, there's no momentum on any John Collins deal for the Atlanta Hawks. So we will keep our eyes peeled, and I will keep you updated. Now, Spencer Dinwiddie, as I stated, was one of the other big point guard free agents. It was said that he was looking for around a $20 million deal a year, sort of deal. And he was able to reach an agreement with the Washington Wizards. Spencer Dinwiddie said that he was excited about the idea of playing with a guy like Bradley Beal, playing with a Rui Hachimura. He said that he was really excited. He said that he believes that this can be a playoff team, and he also stated that he would be able to recruit guys to Washington. So if that's true, you know, a Spencer Dinwiddie deal can be really lucrative for not just Spencer, but for the Washington Wizards, if they're able to recruit any guys over to Washington. Because, you know, as you can maybe don't remember, but Bradley Beal, there were talks about him, you know, maybe wanting to request a trade. Now, Bradley Beal did state earlier in the week that he was not going to request a trade, at least for now. I did not find that a mystery as to why he would not want to trade right now, because if he's able to play with the Wizards and stay on the Wizards through till next offseason, after this coming season, next offseason, he can get offered a 5-year maximum deal by the Washington Wizards, which would turn out to be a lot of money. Now, Beal would have to be on a first team, second team, All-NBA, third team, All-NBA. He was on one this year, so he does qualify for a max, but next year he would be able to qualify for a super max, which would be about a $200+ million deal. So obviously it's no mystery as to why Bradley Beal would want to stay on the team, because if he went to any other team right now, he would not be able to qualify for any sort of super max on any other team. But like I said, next offseason, Bradley Beal will qualify for that. I'm sure he will sign that $200+ million deal with the Wizards. And then from there, that's where he could maybe request a trade. Maybe he can do some sort of sign and trade deal. But as for now, Bradley Beal is staying put. But Spencer Dinwiddie can maybe help the Washington Wizards convince Bradley Beal to stay after signing a supermax and not requesting a trade. If they are able to make the playoffs, if they're able to make some noise, if they're able to, like Spencer said, recruit some players. So that would be a really nice deal for Washington. Another guy that was able to sign a max deal with his team was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Shai signed an extension with the Oklahoma City Thunder. He signed a 5-year, $172 million deal, so a very nice deal for them. Right now, the Thunder are said to definitely want to carry on with SGA on their roster. They said that they want to build around them, even though there were rumors that they offered Shai Gilgeous their number 6 pick to Cleveland for their number 1 pick, which turned out to be Cade Cunningham. But as of right now, the Oklahoma City Thunder are said to want to stay put. They said that they want to move on with SGA as their franchise guy. So it's no surprise that they offered him this supermax. So good for SGA. Right now, the Thunder are obviously in rebuild mode, but they have 18 first-round draft picks within the next 6-7 years. The next 8 years. So, you know, they got a lot of promise. They got a lot of going on in the future. So good on SGA to sign that. Also, Blake Griffin, he did sign a 1-year deal with the Nets. It's said to be a minimum deal with the Nets, which is, you know, no surprise that it's a minimum, because, as you know, the Brooklyn Nets have a lot of salary that they have to pay in just 3 guys, obviously James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant. So right now, the Brooklyn Nets are kind of held hostage, if you want to put it that way, with their guys. Obviously, they're happy to pay these guys, but, you know, after paying these 3 guys, they don't have much money to play with. But yeah, Blake Griffin will stay, which I think is a great deal. Blake Griffin had a great time, you know, after getting waived by the Detroit Pistons. Now, Blake Griffin, he had a great playoffs. I thought he did a tremendous job defensively on Giannis, which really surprised me and surprised a lot of people. So I think it's a great pickup by the Nets. Also, I want to say Evan Fournier, the guard that was on the Boston Celtics, if you remember, he was involved in a trade earlier in the season. He is no longer a Boston Celtic. He did sign a 4-year, $78 million deal with the Knicks. So the Knicks now have a nice veteran guard on their team. Obviously, they have guys like RJ Barrett on their team. But, you know, I have no doubt in my mind that Evan Fournier will be a starter. I'm sure that RJ Barrett will be as well. But yes, Evan Fournier is now going on to the New York Knicks. So the New York Knicks, you know, they got a solid player there. You know, right now what they really want to do is they want to have a good season this coming season. They want to keep rolling the way they were last season, hopefully maybe even do a little bit better. Because next offseason, there are a lot of great free agents. It's nothing like this free agent. I mean, this was a crazy first day of free agency. There were, you know, great, solid players involved. But next offseason, it's franchise player type of players. So, you know, the Knicks definitely want to show every player in the league that they are going to be a competent team, that they're going to be a playoff team, that they can be a contending team if they get some sort of superstar there. So Evan Fournier was a great pickup for them. Moving on to the Dallas Mavericks. Dallas Mavericks, they were able to resign their guard, Tim Hardaway Jr. They signed him on a 4-year, $72 million deal, which is a great thing. The Mavericks, they had about about $35 million to play with here in the cap. They still have some money left, but right now, one of their priorities was re-signing Tim Hardaway Jr. They were able to create some more cap space because they were able to trade Josh Richardson over to the Boston Celtics. In exchange, they got about a $10.9 million trade exception. So because of that, they were able to create, you know, some money. So they did re-sign Tim Hardaway Jr. He gave the Mavs some sort of a discount. As it was expected, he was going to sign around a $20, $22 million deal. And with the Mavericks here, he did sign that 4-year, $72 million, which rounds out to about $18 million a year. So a nice little hometown discount for the Mavericks. And the Mavericks, from what I'm hearing, are very thrilled with re-signing Tim Hardaway Jr. Also for the Mavericks, I just want to throw out there, they also got two other guys. They got Sterling Brown and Reggie Bullock. Sterling Brown, which was a great three-pointer last season, very underrated because he was on the Houston Rockets. So obviously he didn't get much spotlight because they weren't a very good team. But Sterling Brown was one of two players to shoot above 40% from beyond the arc, and also able to shoot above 90% from the free throw line. The other guy that did that was Steph Curry. So Sterling Brown is a very underrated shooter. So the Mavericks, obviously, we can see their plan. They're wanting to surround Luka Doncic with great three-point shooters, great shooters. And they did do that with Sterling Brown, who was signed on a 2-year deal. Also, Reggie Bullock, who came over from the New York Knicks, he did sign a 3-year, $30.5 million deal with the Mavericks. Another great guard. He brings a lot of defense, a lot of tenacity. He can shoot the ball. So he is a great pickup for the Dallas Mavericks. Mavericks were also able to sign Boban Marjanovic, who, in my opinion, was a great pickup. He was signed on a 1-year deal. Obviously, Boban brings a lot of size, a lot of rebounding. But I think that the biggest, the biggest plus in signing Boban is that he is Luka Doncic's. He's Luka's best friend on the team. So obviously, you want to keep Luka happy. You want to keep the team chemistry going. So I think that Boban was a great deal. A cheap deal. Like I said, he brings size, brings rebounding, but most importantly, he brings that friendship with Luka, and he keeps that team chemistry going and keeps Luka happy. Also, I want to mention another guy that I forgot to mention for the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat re-signed Duncan Robinson on a 5-year, $90 million deal. Obviously, he brings a lot of great shooting. So he is a great guy. He's the first undrafted player. He's the highest paid undrafted player in NBA history. So great thing for him. So yes, the Miami Heat, they are really looking special, obviously, now with Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler. They got Duncan Robinson, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero. So they are looking really good and really starting to look like a threat in the East. Okay, so I will talk about the last most solid players left in free agency. But first, let's hear from our friends, Anchor. We'll be right back after this message. All right, we're back from the break. So we just have a couple of more guys that I want to talk about real quick. Like I said, we're just going to round out. I'm not going to talk about every free agent, but just talk about the more notable free agents. So first, let's go ahead and talk about Jared Allen. Jared Allen did sign a 5-year, $100 million deal with the Cavs. He's obviously he was a focal point for a lot of teams if the Cavs didn't re-sign him. But like I said, he did sign a 5-year, $100 million extension with the Cavs. Obviously, he brings a lot of size. He brings shot blocking, rim protection, defense. He brings a lot of rebounding. So he was a big pickup for the Cavs. They got him via trade from the Knicks earlier in the season. Well, prior to the season. So he was a big deal for the Cavs, as they obviously have they have a lot of young players to build around. They still have to decide what they're going to do with Colin Sexton, whether they're going to re-sign him or whether they're going to trade him. So that's something to keep an eye out on for the Cavs. Next up, we have Jeff Green. Jeff Green did sign a 2-year, $10 million deal with the Denver Nuggets. He was a critical guy for the Brooklyn Nets. Obviously, like I said, Brooklyn, they don't have a lot of leeway with their salary cap, because they do have to pay their big three. But Jeff Green, you know, he was a very important player in the playoffs for them. He hit big shots. So he is a nice addition for the Denver Nuggets to surround around Nikola Jokic, around Jamal Murray, who unfortunately will be missing probably at least about half of the season, because he did tear his ACL late in last season with about a month and a half left before the playoffs. But he is a nice player to add for the Nuggets. You know, obviously Nikola Jokic is an incredible player with a lot of passing ability. So being able to have Jeff Green out there on the perimeter for them is going to be a very nice pickup for them. Also, Bobby Portis, as we know, he was a very, very important player for the Milwaukee Bucks. He brought a lot of rebounding, a lot of tenacity, a lot of hustle, and obviously scoring. He was a great three-point shooter in the playoffs, and he did re-sign with the Milwaukee Bucks on a 2-year, $9 million deal. The number is pretty surprising, considering they said that they were looking for at least around $10 million deal. You know, the fact that they were able to get him on a 2-year, $9 million. Also, the Mavericks, it was said that they offered him more money than that, but he declined. So, you know, obviously he's loyal to the Milwaukee franchise. He thinks that he can run it back, as he did post on his Twitter, run it back. So obviously he believes that the Bucks have a nice chance of getting the championship again next season, and we have no reason to doubt that. So he will be staying with the Bucks. Also, Gary Trent Jr., as we know, was traded to the Raptors for Norman Powell in a deal between the Blazers and the Raptors. He is re-signing with the Raptors on a 3-year, $54 million deal, which is good for Gary Trent. He said when he got to the Raptors, he said that he finally felt appreciated. He felt loved. He felt wanted by the franchise. And he got a lot of nice numbers, scored above 20 plus points a game once he got to Toronto. So he will be staying in Toronto. Toronto still has a lot to decide. Obviously, they no longer have Kyle Lowry. There are reports that they are shopping Pascal Siakam. So that's something to keep an eye on for the Raptors. You know, are they going to move on from Pascal, or are they going to keep him? But they do have a important guy in Gary Trent Jr. now. But yeah, something to keep an eye on for Toronto is what they're going to do with Pascal now. Also, talking about important players for their teams, Nick Batum, he is signing a 2-year extension with the Clippers. Obviously, he was great in Los Angeles. He brought his veteran leadership, you know, his high IQ on the floor. He was great on defense. He was hitting three-point shots. So the Clippers are very glad to keep him, as you know, right now it's still kind of a question mark what you know, how good they can be and also what they can do when building their roster, because as we know, there are some rumors going around the NBA that maybe, you know, Kawhi Leonard may not sign with the Clippers. Although everything is pointing towards him re-signing with the Clippers, there is, you know, a little bit of doubt around the league whether he will do that, as, you know, Kawhi's people said that, you know, even though, you know, they're probably leaning towards signing with the Clips, he is listening to offers from other teams. So, and a big team to keep an eye on that is actually the front runners were, you know, the Miami Heat and the Dallas Mavericks. Now that the Miami Heat re-signed Kyle Lowry, and now that, you know, Dallas signed Tim Hardaway, Sterling Brown, Reggie Bullock, Boban, you know, now that's probably not likely, but still, like I said, you know, teams are offering deals to Kawhi, and, you know, Kawhi is open to listening. So, you know, it's not totally ruled out if he will resign with the Clippers, but like I said, everything rules towards him doing that, towards him remaining in Los Angeles. As we know, LA is Kawhi's home. You know, he worked hard to move from San Antonio and get himself in LA. So, you know, it'd be kind of hard to believe him wanting to leave so quickly. But like I said, he is listening to offers, but I think that we can pretty much bet on him staying in LA if it was up to me. Also for the Knicks, I forgot to mention this. The Knicks did re-sign Derrick Rose on a 3-year, $43 million deal. Derrick Rose was obviously their best player in the playoffs as Julius Randle came up short. But, you know, Derrick Rose, like, you know, he brings his veteran leadership. He's a great scorer. He's a penetrator. He can make, he can play make. So he will be remaining in New York. Also, Norman Powell, speaking about the Norman Powell and Gary Trent trade, Norman Powell, he will be remaining in Portland as he signed a 5-year, $90 million extension with the Portland Trail Blazers. So Damian Lillard, as of right now, he does have his shooting guard by his side. Now, something that we do have to keep an eye out on is Damian Lillard. What is he going to do? You know, there was buzz about him maybe requesting a trade, him not being happy in the organization, about them not being able to truly contend. So that is something to keep an eye on. What is Damian Lillard going to do? As of right now, it is understood that he is going to remain in Portland, that he is not going to request a trade. But still, you know, the NBA is always crazy, especially around NBA free agency. So that is something to keep an eye out. You know, and, you know, some of the teams that are said to be involved in a possible Damian Lillard trade are the New York Knicks, the Philadelphia 76ers. Obviously, we have to keep an eye out on Ben Simmons, what's going to happen with that. And, you know, maybe even Denver. So we definitely have to keep an eye on the Damian Lillard situation. Also, another big guy to remain in his organization is Rashawn Holmes. He did resign on a 4-year, $55 million deal with the Kings. So he will be remaining in Sacramento. He was a sought-out player. The biggest team to be interested in him, supposedly, was the Dallas Mavericks. You know, as obviously they're looking for a big guy, they're looking for a way to, you know, improve their front court, you know, and also something to keep an eye on with the Mavericks, as I forgot to mention, is the Kristaps Porzingis thing. You know, it's been said that they're shopping around, they're trying to see what sort of deals they can do, but, you know, obviously they don't just want to give them away or, you know, get pennies on the dollar. So as of right now, Kristaps is a Dallas Maverick, but that is something to keep an eye out. And, you know, I think this might be the last guy that I'm going to mention, but DeMar DeRozan, obviously, you know, he had a great year in San Antonio. He averaged about 21 points and 6 assists, which is 6 assists were actually his, career high. You know, he's still a very capable player. Obviously, he's a great penetrator. He's a great mid-range shooter. He is not a good three-point shooter, as he does not shoot a lot of threes. And when he does, he shoots less than 30% from three-point land. So, you know, he's, you know, not your typical modern NBA player. As you know, pretty much if you want to succeed in the NBA, you either have to be a big rebounder, but mostly you have to be a great three-point shooter. DeMar DeRozan is not that, but he does bring a lot of veteran leadership. He does bring a lot of, like I said, mid-range shooting. And like I said, he averaged 21 points and 6 assists. Any team that he goes to, that he definitely adds a lot to their plate, to whatever team he goes to. But as of right now, it's said that the Clippers are very interested in DeMar DeRozan. The Spurs are interested in re-signing him. And also the New York Knicks are interested in pursuing him. And also just to throw out there, the Dallas Mavericks were also interested. But as of right now, I'm going to go ahead and say the Mavs are out. Also, Miami Heat were interested in DeMar DeRozan. They were interested in doing some sort of a Toronto Raptor reunion between Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. So that's something to keep an eye on. Obviously, the Miami Heat, they have a lot of great players that they just acquired, but they are able to still, you know, perform some deals, some trades that they can, maneuver so that they can get, you know, other valuable players. But as of right now, there is no traction on that. But I am told that that is something to keep an eye out on. So, you know, very interesting to see. I think I have two more guys here. Also, I just want to mention Furkan Korkmaz. He is re-signing with the Philadelphia 76ers on a 3-year, $15 million deal. He is their guard, their backup guard, who, you know, brings some playmaking, brings, you know, shooting, you know, is a very good three-point shooter. So he will be re-signing with the Sixers. Nerlens Noel, I forgot to mention as well, will be remaining in New York on a 3-year, $32 million deal. So good for him making his money. Unfortunately for him, he did turn down a $75 million deal that the Mavericks had offered to him when he was playing in Dallas. But he turned it down. He thought he was worth more. And so his agent, which is with Rich Paul's agency, his agent told him, hey, bet on yourself. If we know you can make more, so bet on yourself. But unfortunately, Nerlens just got so many injuries, and he just did not play up to, you know, big money standards. So he never did get that big deal. So it is nice to see Nerlens Noel get that 3-year, $32 million deal. And he's well worth it. You know, he played well with the New York Knicks. He brought rebounding, brought defense. You know, he's not a big scorer, but, you know, he can catch lobs and stuff like that. So good for him on getting that deal. Also, Zach Collins, he signed a 3-year, $22 million deal with the Spurs. He is no longer with Portland. Obviously, you know, the Portland Trailblazers had a lot of expectations for Zach Collins. But unfortunately, Zach Collins just kept getting injury after injury after injury. You know, he has now had 3 ankle surgeries. It's a gamble. And, you know, a team like Portland, who is trying to do everything they can to keep Damian Lillard happy, you know, they just cannot afford to waste cap space on a player that, you know, might be injured. You know, like I said, they're trying to convince Damian Lillard to stay. You know, Damian Lillard right now is on the fence whether he wants to request a trade or not. The Portland Trailblazers, they need to do everything they can to optimize and capitalize on their team and make their team better to make Damian Lillard happy. So, you know, Zach Collins, unfortunately, was just not part of that plan for the Blazers, but he did find a home in San Antonio. Will Barton, he did re-sign on a 2-year, $32 million deal with Denver. So they are remaining with Barton in their back court. So Will Barton will be staying in Denver. And that is pretty much it. But lastly, I just want to go ahead and talk about Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons, it's obviously no secret that Philadelphia is shopping him around. Ben Simmons obviously had a horrific playoff performance where he showed that he is not a good shooter. He doesn't even shoot three-pointers. He doesn't really shoot anything unless he's right below the basket around a 5 feet out is about as far as he will shoot. He is not a good free throw shooter. He shot around 34% from the free throw line in the playoffs. He even passed up on some easy shots down at the rim, obviously, as we know in, I believe it was either game five or game six. I think it was game six where Ben Simmons had a wide open layup, but he passed it up because he did not want to shoot, because he didn't want to risk having to shoot free throws, getting fouled and shoot free throws. So that's a big problem. Now, it is said that Ben Simmons is working on his shot here in the offseason. You know, he's playing around with maybe switching his shooting hand. Anytime a player is, considering switching his shooting hand, that is just not a good sign on whether he's going to be a good shooter or not. It is said that the Philadelphia 76ers are asking for a big haul for Ben Simmons. It's reported that they're asking for about four draft picks, first rounders, four draft picks, one big superstar and a couple players. So, that is a big ask. It is said that it's about a Harden-esque type of trade, if anything is, able to get done by the Sixers standards. It's something to keep an eye out. Ben Simmons is on a four-year deal right now. He still has 4 years remaining. So Ben Simmons does not have a lot of leverage. Now, it is said that Ben is, pretty open to being traded, which I think is a good deal for him. I think a change of scenery would be good. Right now, the Philadelphia 76ers fans are not very happy with him. And as we know, that is a tough city, and that's not a city where you want to make your fans, where you want to make your fans angry. So that is something to keep an eye out for the Sixers and Ben Simmons. All right, so that pretty much wraps everything up. Now, during this offseason, since there isn't much going on except for free agency, I covered most of free agency as a lot was done, but there are still players done. I will do another episode in about a week or so. I will still be reporting from time to time here in the offseason. Unfortunately, like I said, there's not much news to report, especially after, today's free agency. Now, free agency is obviously still going, and it still will be going for a while. And, there's still going to be news going on here in the offseason. So, like I said, I will be coming on, hopefully around once a week to report. But like I said, I just won't be posting as much as I was during the playoffs, but I will be posting. All right, so that's pretty much it. So I just wanted to go ahead and thank everyone for listening here to the Big Shot Pod. As always, I am your host, Chaba Baja. It was a great pleasure for me to, make a podcast again. It had, like I said, been about a week and a half since I'd posted. So I am happy to be posting again. It's always fun for me. Again, please reach out to us if you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything that you want us to address here in the podcast. Please hit us up on Twitter. Our Twitter is @TheBigShotPod. I'll say that again. Our Twitter is @TheBigShotPod. Go ahead and send us a message or mention us. Again, just message us and let us know if you have any concerns, questions, comments, anything that you want us to talk about here on the podcast. We will go ahead and address that. So please hit us up on Twitter. Please like and please subscribe to our channel here on Spotify if you're listening to us on Spotify, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts or any other platform that you might be listening to us on. Please go ahead and subscribe and, so that way we can keep you guys updated here in free agency. And then once the season starts, I will be posting a lot more. But again, I am your host, as always, Chaba Baja. And thank you so much for listening to the Big Shot Pod. Have a good night, everybody.